Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today, we are joined by Christina Monte-Leon Boyarsky. She is a beauty and wellness publicist and the founder of CMB Media, and she is expecting her first child. So congrats. I'm so excited to speak with you, and you look gorgeous, glowing, thriving.
Thank you. Just a little makeup, a little contour.
So why don't we begin by having you introduce yourself to my listeners, tell us who you are, and also your relationship with New York City.
Yes. So I'm Christina Monte-Leon Boyarsky. I have been in the PR industry for a little over 10 years now. Got right into it right out of college, worked my way up at a few different agencies, and then started my own company in 2021. And my bread and butter is beauty and wellness.
Okay, I love hearing that. I actually studied PR when I was in college, and I feel like a lot of, you know, starting your own company, it's exciting, but it's also very difficult. So when was that moment that you had this idea of, you know what, I'm going to kind of carve my own path? Like, tell me about that realization.
Okay, so I think I always knew I wanted to own my own company because my dad owned his own company for 25 years. So I always had that like entrepreneurial spirit deep inside. And I remember like starting my first jobs as like assistants and stuff where you would like live in the beauty closet. And I would just call my mom on lunch breaks and be like, Mom, it's so cold in the office and I don't like it. And I have to sit at a desk till 6 p.m. I just like knew it wasn't for me. The corporate world, I should say. But I was always very motivated, always very driven. So I knew I wanted to do my own thing. And then COVID happened. And that's kind of when my wheels started turning. Like, how can I do this on my own? And that's when I, you know, got my own laptop and started my own email address and my LLC and started kind of talking to people about it and getting advice. And then September 2021 is when I made the official jump. So it was definitely like in the works for a few years, and it took me 2 full years to officially make the jump.
Wow, that's like so impressive. But I have to ask, how did you land your first client? And be honest, did you, I don't want to say take any clients from previous work, but walk me through that, right? Because you are usually like the go-to contact, or you're on a team working with different brands, different companies. Like, is there that chit-chat on the sideline? Like, I know it can be controversial. People are saying, don't do that. But then other people are like, it's your network, it's your contacts. How do you feel about that? And tell me how you landed your first client.
That's such a great point. Like, when you're the director at an agency, like you are the main point of contact. Like you're the one emailing the client every day, emailing, texting, calling at, you know, all hours of the day. So you do build that relationship. But transparently, my first client came through my best friend. And it was the company's House of Puff. I adore them. They make weed products. But they're like very feminine focused. They're like gorgeous, like glass bowls. So it was a female owned, Latinx owned company, which I'm Latina. So that was very important to me. So they were actually my first client and they, you know, gave me a shot. I will say I had to do both at the same time for a little. So I did have to, you know, I was working my full-time job and my husband was like, you cannot, you know, fully give up your salary until you know you can do this. So I did do both for a little while just to test it out.
And were you this sole person or did you have any help like with your friends or just by yourself?
Oh no. I just hired my like first employees like a few months ago, and
Oh,
I'm
wow.
over 2 years in. So no, one man show, doing everything, billing, invoicing, all the back end stuff, and then also all of the PR stuff.
That's a lot because I feel like even what I do, it's like a one woman show and there's so many different hats that you wear, but being like you're owning your own company, so there's a lot of pressure. How do you handle that?
Yeah, I'm like, taxes. I didn't learn this in
Oh my
school. You have to
God.
learn how to pay like federal and state taxes and, create the LLC. What I learned through like the whole process is ask for help. Like, utilize your network, ask for help. People are really willing to help you, especially like when you're starting your own company. Like, people for the most part are very kind and they want to help you. So, I've had lawyer friends help me like setting up the LLC. I had, all of my clients to date have been word of mouth, just from, telling people what I do and proving to them that I do good work. So always ask for help is what I've learned.
Yeah, I love that lesson. It's been about 2.5 years since I guess your company has launched. Has there been a low point or any moments where you doubted yourself, or are you just very laser focused right now trying to build your client list, build your reputation and your portfolio essentially?
I have imposter syndrome every day. Usually Sundays and Mondays are the worst. No, I'm constantly battling with myself. It never gets easier. Like, clients sign contracts, but they also break contracts, or things don't always work out. So yeah, no, I'm always as a business owner, you're always, as you know, like you're always hustling. So yeah, it's definitely
You're like
it.
just really focused and motivated, though.
Yes, you have to stay motivated. Otherwise, I could be going for walks all day and not getting work done. I would say low point, like in general, like the summer could be a little slower for clients, either like around the holiday season, if they don't have like products that are, in holiday gift guides. Like, the holiday season could be a little slow, and like July could be a little slow. So I did, like, my first summer, I would say I was like a little panicked when like the placements weren't coming as often. But honestly, whenever I face something like that, it just motivates me to do even better work. So
Yeah, I love that. So walk me through your morning routine. Does every day look different? Do you kind of have a specific thing you do every morning?
yeah, so every morning starts with a workout that has obviously changed since becoming pregnant, because my workout is sometimes just walking to and from the gym. I live right outside the city now in Hoboken, New Jersey. But it always starts with movement. And then I stop and get a coffee at The Hive, my favorite little local coffee shop. And then I sit down. I usually start working around 9:30. And every day is different. So some days I'm on calls all day. Some days I'm literally just laser focused writing pitches and sending them all day. I would say 90% of them go unopened, but the 10% that do get opened turn into broadcast segments and podcast segments and features on the Wall Street Journal and Forbes. So at the end of the day, it's worth it. But it is very, it's tough.
That's amazing. Are most of your clients based in New York, or are they kind of just all over the states, the world?
Yeah, so I don't think I answered your question about my relationship with New York earlier. I have a love-hate relationship with New York. I don't think I'll ever leave, but the weather really gets me down every year. So I lived in the city for 8 years, and then I moved out right outside the city to Hoboken. I am not ready for the suburbs yet. I'm like a city girl at heart. Most of my clients are here now. I'll take on some projects in LA. But most of them are based in New York. So it's another reason that keeps me here.
And I love that in your bio, you say that you're like their ultimate hype woman. And I feel like hype woman, there's this like also like friendliness, obviously, right? You always want somebody in your corner. How do you, I guess, navigate wanting to be their, I don't know if you would use the word friends, but also like in a professional sense as well, like as their publicist?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think when I take on my clients, I have to make sure that we mesh. And I always need to make sure that we see eye to eye and we see each other as partners. Because as soon as someone starts talking down to me or someone on my team or talking down to anyone, even on their team, that's kind of like my red flag. Like, this like may not be working. So it's really important that I'm taking on clients that like me for me and I like them for them. I think it just makes everything easier. It makes it easier to pitch them. It makes it easier to book them for TV when I know them like as a person and as a client.
Of course. I mean, you don't want to work with anybody that there's just like bad vibes. It's just like going to be awkward.
Unfortunately, sometimes you don't realize that until you start working with them. So, you know, you might get a few red flags during like the whole negotiation and the agreement, but I'm starting to learn to listen to those red flags, because if there's, you know, conflict or issues happening before they even sign the agreement, then it's probably not going to be the best partnership.
Totally. Have to listen to your gut feeling. So what is a stereotype of publicists that you want to debunk?
Stereotype. Okay, so I just restarted watching Sex and the City from season one, and Samantha is a publicist. And I think like people don't know what PR people do. Like, I think they think that we just go to events all of the time and are like these flashy people. And Samantha in Sex and the City definitely portrays that. But I'm going to debunk that. And like, truly, my day from 9:30 to 5:30 is sitting behind a computer and like writing and sending these pitches. Unless there's, you know, unless I'm going to a podcast taping or a broadcast taping, or it's an event day. But like, those happen once in a while. They're not happening every single day. So it's just, it's not as glamorous as people think.
And then on the flip side, what is a stereotype that you can say, you know what, it's actually true about publicists?
That's a good question. We're all like chatty people. Like, I think PR people, you have to be outgoing, and our job is networking. You literally have to know how to talk to people. So yeah, that's us. Like, I can talk to the wall behind me all day.
And in your close group of friends, are there other like publicists, or are most of your friends in different industries?
Yeah. So my best friend is a publicist and has her own company.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So we, you know, if it's like a big project, we'll team up sometimes. Otherwise, we're just constantly helping each other behind the scenes, reviewing decks and helping each other budgeting with like budgeting and even like figuring out taxes together. So it is probably like the best of the best to like have one of your best friends also do what you do.
Okay. And is there any tea you want to spill? Is there any drama in the publicity world? Just because I feel like maybe another stereotype is that there's like not cattiness, but maybe that's just from like what I see or hear. And of course, it's whatever you're comfortable sharing. You could just be like, you know what? I plead the fifth. But is there like cliques with publicists? Are there like a lot of competition to win clients? Like, tell us the scoop, girl.
Okay. So most of the cattiness happens when you're at an agency. And one of the reasons I did not like working at agencies is because I like to spend my time making money. So I like to work, get my hours in, do my work, book my clients for the sickest features, and then slam my laptop shut and like go get outside or go do what I need to do. at an agency, you're like stuck at the office for so many hours. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where like the cattiness and the clicks all happen. So yes, there were definitely clicks like at my last agency. Currently, as freelancers, I'm part of a really big freelance group that you have to, it's like a members only thing. You mm-hmm. have to have references to get in, you have to pay a membership fee. So within that group, there's definitely like some really cool, amazing people that are willing to help you. And then there's definitely some crazies, and I'm not going to name names, but
that's all we need.
Yeah. You know? There's people that may want to steal your clients or are just a little cuckoo.
Mm-hmm. What would you do if you heard that somebody try to go behind your back and steal your client? Are you more like brush it off like it is what it is? You trust in your work and your relationships. Would you personally take some like offense to it or be hurt by it? I'm just curious because it may not happen. It may have happened. It may will happen.
Yeah, that's a good question. So today, thankfully, knock on wood, no one has, that I'm aware of, has tried to steal my clients of anything. Like, I've had clients leave and then try to come back. And mm-hmm. if they can't meet my new fee or something didn't work the first time around, so I'm like not willing to take them back, then they go to someone else. And like, it's always kind of like a little burn, but then I have to remind myself, like, I'm the person who said no.
No.
But it is kind of weird to see someone else in your network like then like represent them. So that's weird. I think if someone stole my client or tried to, I would have a conversation with the client and just be like, you know, heard that you talked to a PR friend of mine, because it's such a small world. Like we're all connected. So I'd probably have a conversation with the client and also with maybe the PR person if I have like a relationship with them.
Interesting.
Otherwise, it's like,
yeah. And
otherwise,
what,
like, good for that girl, she won my client.
Right. It's like that quote, like also when you're dating or in a relationship, like, if you can have my man, take him, you know?
Yeah. I mean, someone else wants to deal with the crazy client, or, you know,
like, be my guest.
Yeah.
So till this day, what has been your biggest accomplishment? Was it like a certain feature, a client that you landed, an interview? Like, what has been like the top highlight?
Big picture, just like starting the company in general, I think that's been like monumental for me. I think I was so scared to make the jump, and then actually making the jump. And then 2 years into it, I did a whole rebrand. I worked with this really cool creative agency called About Mondays, who helps me with like a new logo and a website and everything. And that really helped grow my business. So that's like big picture. And then if I want to say like one moment, I would say like booking my first Good Morning America feature was just like a dream come true, because I doesn't watch Good Morning America. So getting a client on there, coordinating everything, going backstage with them, like that, I remember that first time was just
magical.
Incredible.
Yeah, it must have been something that you'll remember forever.
Yes.
So we are winding down, and my podcast is called The City Confessions. So Christina, I would love for you to share a city confession. And this can be anything. I preface this by saying that it can be something personal, professional, and some questions that you know, might be helpful are like, what is like a fun fact or a misconception you think people have of you? Something you want to like just clear the air, an embarrassing moment, an insecurity, just like however you receive the question. So what is your city confession?
Oh, okay. What is my city confession? Can you give me like some
examples? I thought you said time. Yeah, like some people have said, I mean, I've heard sex stories, you know, involving taxis, like insecurities because I've had like a model come on and say she's actually like super insecure, but you would never guess that because she's just so confident. You've alluded to like having imposter syndrome, which has been like a common running theme in a lot of my episodes. Some people have just told me like embarrassing facts about themselves, like not washing their face. Let me think. Just like, or like they secretly hate New York, but they pretend they love it. It's like literally all over the spectrum.
Oh my God, then I have like so many. I will say, since moving out of the city a few years ago, and I love it every time I'm back in there, I'm like, I love this place. I can eat whatever I want, I can walk wherever I want. But when I'm there, I'm like, don't think I'll ever live here again. It smells, there's rats. I've had rats in my apartment in New York. Just dirty. It doesn't feel, I mean, transparently, it doesn't feel as safe as it used to pre-COVID. So yeah, I'd say I probably will never live there again, as much as I love it.
No, I appreciate your honesty. I'm a native New Yorker and I've always been like ride or die for the city. Like I, you know, my blog is Marianne New York City. My podcast is The City Confessions. But I will say, since becoming a mom, like my partner and I have discussed about like our future in New York, which I don't think I've like openly have expressed or confessed. And the safety is a huge thing, like ever since COVID, but also recently, like with just the subways and everything. And it's kind of sad because
I'm getting pinched in the face.
Absolutely. And I would love to take my son like out, and we do go out, don't get me wrong, but I've never done it alone. And it's due to like the safety, but I'm also super independent and I don't like to be at home. But I also have to feel like I have to like put obviously him, you know, before my desires of like going out.
You have to come to Hoboken. Come to Hoboken.
You know what's funny? We were looking at houses. First of all, Hoboken, it's getting expensive. And also there's like no inventory because it's rising. We were looking last summer and then we were looking at houses in Jersey. But it's still like, I don't know. We don't know.
It's
We're just gonna.
Time. I have a realtor for you, Marina
Okay.
Chinesi, who helped us buy our beautiful home.
Okay, perfect.
That I'm going to connect you with. But I think you're going to love Hoboken, Jersey City, because it's so kid friendly. It's like kids and dogs everywhere.
Yeah.
I do not have a pet yet. But I think you will love it. It's just like cleaner and.
No. That was on our radar. It just like didn't seem like to align at the time, but we'll connect offline. I also have a fire round of New York City questions to fully wrap this up. It's going to be five questions and you answer the first word that comes to your mind.
Can't wait.
All right, let's go. So if you can describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
Best place on earth.
favorite thing about the city?
Their Thai food.
Least favorite thing?
The rats.
Your go-to restaurant, spa, cafe.
It just closed. It was Bocafe, so now it's going to be Ruby's Cafe.
Oh, I love Ruby's Cafe. I always order their burger. And if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
Finding my husband.
I love that because we love love here. And like you are also welcoming your first child. So what an exciting time. Now it is your chance to plug away. I'm going to have all of your information in the show notes. So if you are watching or listening, be sure to expand on that. But is there anything you're working on that you need support in? Are there any secret projects in the works? What can you share with us?
So many secret projects happening. It's crazy. Even though I'm giving birth in August, I'm still signing new clients. So check out at CMB Media __ on Instagram, where I announce all of my cool projects.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us, Christina. I hope all of you enjoyed this episode. Feel free to share this with a friend and leave a positive review. And I will talk to you all next week. All right. Bye.
Thank you.